Welcome to our Reach Next Generation podcast. I'm Grace Jeffries, and I'm thinking about my future. To help me with this, I'm speaking with successful women to get an understanding of the challenges they have faced throughout their careers, how they overcame them, and what tips they have for girls of my age. Today, my guest is Natalie Stagnaro, who is the head of campaigns at FanBytes. Thanks for joining me today, Natalie. Can we start by you telling us all how your career took you to FanBytes? And also, can you tell us a little bit more about what FanBytes does?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, thank you for having me, Grace. I'm really honored to be speaking to you. So I'll start from the beginning because I think it sort of adds some context into how I got here. So I grew up in America on the East Coast in a very sort of small sheltered community. So I was one of seven siblings. We were homeschooled. I never sort of thought that one day I would be living in London, independent, working at an agency as head of campaigns. So as it turns out, that community that I grew up in would lead me to get married at a very young age and essentially follow my partner at the time to London for his career. At the time, alongside that, I had a blog that I kept that I spoke about fashion and lifestyle and food. And that blog and that brand that I sort of built for myself led me to land my first job, which was in London, after my partner and I moved here. So it was at an agency called iProspect, under another agency called Dentsu. So I felt very lucky because I didn't really have experience in marketing. All I had was my blog, and the agency really sort of believed in me and believed I could offer them something and sort of gave me a chance. So I started out there working with bloggers, and this was before influencer was even a word. We didn't call them that at the time. So as the years passed, I sort of started working with influencers and did influencer marketing for a really big range of brands. And then as I gained confidence in both my career and my personal life, I decided to not go ahead with my marriage, and I divorced. So at that point, my partner moved back to the US, but I stayed in London because I felt like my career and my life was here, and I was really building my life for the first time. So I moved to a few different agencies within Dentsu. I built out teams around influencer marketing and offered that to really cool clients like Kellogg's, Cereal, Pandora, the jewelry brand, Jaguar, Land Rover. And then after 8.5 really good years at Dentsu, where I learned so, so much, I got an opportunity at FanBytes, which is where I am at the moment. So I look after a brilliant client services team. We're a team of about 30 people. And to your question around who FanBytes are, so we are an influencer agency, we're an influencer partner. We work with a huge range of incredible clients like the UK government. And I'm just very, very proud of FanBytes and sort of the team and the different turns my career has taken me to get here.
Well, when you were at school, did you know what you wanted to do or be, or did that happen more later in life?
Yeah, definitely. So when I was in school, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I thought at the time maybe be a stay-at-home mom or maybe an artist or a teacher. I went to a small university and I studied psychology and I studied music, but I think I was a little bit confused about where I belonged and what I wanted to do. So for me, it definitely happened later in life and kind of through circumstances around my upbringing and how my life played out in my younger years, but I was sort of able to form a path from that, where I knew that I loved what I was doing within the influencer world, and I knew that I would do well.
Well, you mentioned that you went to university, a small one, but how important do you think it actually is to go to university?
Yeah, so I think university can be a really great time to kind of figure out what path you might want to take. You're taking so many courses and sort of meeting so many different people. So it can kind of be a time where you can get clarity on which sort of avenue you want to take and what your passions are. If you aren't quite sure where, when you're finishing up school or sixth form, which kind of direction you want to go down. But then on the other hand, some of the, you know, most kind of entrepreneurial, you know, smartest people that I've met haven't gone to university and they've gone straight into a work experience or kind of starting their own companies or on a different path, like a gap year traveling or, you know, starting families first. So I think you really need to listen to what, you know, you feel strongest about. There's no sort of right or wrong. I think if you're focused, you'll kind of get there whichever path you take. So there's no real right or wrong, I think.
So obviously we've all been hit by COVID, with things just beginning to feel normal again. But how have you had to deal with the COVID-19 issues, both personally and professionally?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, it was obviously a really weird time for everyone when it first kind of happened in March, 2 years ago now. So I was at an agency called Gleam at the time. And we were all sort of collectively trying to figure out how to work from home, how to make sure our clients felt comfortable running campaigns with us. So I think we sort of found our feet after the first few months. And I think, like a lot of people, you know, we found that because people were staying at home, actually there was more time people were spending on their phones at looking at social media. So it really led to influencer marketing, that industry completely taking off. And we found ourselves busier than ever, actually. And I think because of that too, I was really able to grow a lot more confidence in my career and how I spoke, my knowledge to clients and how I managed a team. So I'm quite an introverted person naturally. So I think for me personally, to have that space at home allowed me to kind of figure out how I work best. And then, yeah, kind of seeing the growth of that industry, I think it proved that, you know, influencer marketing isn't going to be going away anytime soon.
Well, the world is changing so, so much and so, so quickly. But what do you think work for women might look like in 10 years' time?
Yeah, definitely. So I think we... Sorry, I had some notes and I just lost them. So yeah, I think we're going to be seeing a lot more women in leadership positions. I think we're going to be seeing a lot more, hopefully, equal pay. We're going to be seeing a lot more women in hopefully really strong political leadership positions, and a lot more positions that have been very predominantly male. And I think too that hopefully a lot more equality with kind of family planning and, you know, maternity leave and having that work-life balance of being able to have a family and have a career at the same time. I think the next generations are so open and so kind of focused on equality, and I think that's amazing. I think already I'm seeing things from Gen Z and beyond that, you know, discussions that are being had that, you know, I was not having at all when I was that age. So I think there's going to be a huge, huge positive change.
Well, your life and your work life obviously seems quite busy, having to sort influencers out and make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. But yeah. Do you have any hobbies that you like to do outside of work that helps you to really relax?
Yeah, so I do music. So I play the violin, I play piano, I sing, I write. I work with my partner, who is a producer, and I sing on a lot of his songs. I would say that's probably my biggest sort of outlet. It's where I can kind of tap into my creative side. I also have a dog called Suki that takes up a lot of my time. She's a little like tiny fluffy dog. So yeah, I just enjoy spending time with her. Yeah.
So throughout your career, have you had any mentors, or have there been anyone that you particularly admire?
Yeah, I think there's definitely some women that I admire, and definitely some mentors along the way. So in terms of who I admire, I look at Jacinda Ardern, who's the Prime Minister of New Zealand. So I look to her sort of for a lot of inspiration in leadership. So I really see her ability to sort of lead her nation, like, for example, with how she dealt with everything with COVID-19. I think it's really, really inspiring. I really look to Wendy Clark. So she is the global CEO of Dentsu, my previous agency. So she is so strong and also very personable and relatable. As an example, she makes everyone feel so important, know how important they are kind of in the wider picture of the agency and their impact on it. So I love that. I've had so many mentors along the way. So at my time at an agency called 360i, my manager, Simon, my time at Gleam, my manager, Chris, they've always sort of believed in me and pushed me and were sort of believing in me even when I didn't quite believe in myself. So those are definitely the kinds of people that you need behind you and cheering you on.
Well, earlier you mentioned that you started a blog when you were quite young, but what first led you to create that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that was sort of way back in the day, maybe 10 years ago, blogs were kind of in place of Instagram. So it's kind of your little place to share your day-to-day life, your inspiration, things like that. So I just wanted a creative outlet, I think. I think there's always been that side of me. I mentioned that when I was young, I thought about being an artist. I'm a horrible painter, so thank goodness that never actually happened. But I think it was just a creative outlet for me. And I'm very glad that I did, because it landed me my first job, which is so crazy to think about now.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of talk about pay equality generally, but how much do you think women are catching up with men's salaries and getting those top jobs, especially in media and agencies?
Yeah, definitely. We still have some work to do. So there has been improvement. It's been a requirement to disclose gender pay gap reports, which you can see on the government's website. So you'll see actually when you search a lot of the big agencies and big corporations that there's still a significant gap. I think the transparency and needing to disclose that gap has closed it a little bit, but not enough. So I think, you know, we need to keep pushing for that and challenging the companies that aren't equal. Promoting pay transparency. Transparency will always or often bring out the truth. And then keep talking about, you know, pay to family leave and the work-life balance. It's often challenging for employers to bring that in. So keep talking about it, keep challenging it. We still have a ways to go.
So what tips would you give girls when they start to think about their careers and their own futures?
Yeah, definitely. So I would say your differences and the things that you think make you different, those are your strengths.
Yeah.
Play to those strengths and sort of use them as drivers and kind of clues for what you want to focus on. So talk to other people about those strengths, maybe make a list. And then when you start to think about a career, you can line up, you know, your strengths and your passions with that career and kind of pick things. Okay, what do I need to improve? What kind of training do I need to sort of get there? Who can I ask to kind of support me in that? I think those are the things too that make you a resilient person. It's such a unique thing to be able to offer a perspective that no one else has, because you've had completely different experiences than anyone. Yeah, as I said at the beginning, like I never thought that me, like when I was a kid or teenager, you know, growing up in a really small sheltered community, I would ever be here, you know, speaking to you. So I think, you know, all of those differences in your background, that, you know, that's your superpower.
Of course. Well, finally, I just wanted to ask, what do you find the most interesting part of your job daily?
Yeah, that's a good question. There are so many things. I think with FanBytes being, you know, we're in such a period of growth right now. We're about 60 people and kind of planning to double in size. There's a lot of just people, kind of conversations with people and dealing with lots of different layers of people. It's a very people job. It's very, very sort of, maybe we can redo this part, sorry.
No, carry on, it's fine, don't worry about it.
It's very sort of relationship building and making sure that everyone kind of understands the goals of the business. We're all kind of driving to the right sort of North Star, and we're all kind of having the same aim. So I think that's been kind of the most interesting part, is just the different layers of people, building those different relationships, making sure that everyone's aligned and we're all kind of working as one big thing kind of towards the same goal.
Of course. Well, I've really enjoyed chatting with you today, Natalie. Thank you so much. And I'm sure everyone listening will now be thinking about some of the choices they're about to make in their own careers. Keep listening to the Reach Next Generation podcasts as I talk to many more brilliant women. More details about us are at reachnextgeneration.com. And thank you to Levi Strauss, Ideal Standard, Sage PLC and Haynes Watts for their fantastic support.